We come to praise the Lord this morning. I praise in the valley, I praise on the mountain. Oh yes, I praise when I'm sure, I praise when I'm doubting. I praise when I'm numbered, I praise when surrounded. Oh yes, this praise is the water, my enemy's drowning. Yes. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise. just empty praise and treasures of faith are never enough.
Tell them.
Then you came along.
Oh, yes.
You put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied. Here in your love, yes. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, and nothing is better than you.
We praise you today. We thank you for your love. Father, we thank you for the cross that you bore for each and every one of us. We look to you this morning, Father. We bless you. We honor you. We magnify you. There's only one name that is worthy. There's only one King on the throne. He is the light of our salvation. All praise belongs to him alone. There's only one way to the Father. One love that melts the heart of stone.
Oh yes.
He is the life and resurrection.
Beautiful, he's worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Tell him he's the one. Let's offer up a praise to the Lord Jesus, the one who is worthy, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus. Worthy to be praised, worthy of all the worship and the glory and the honor. Bless your name, O Lord. Yes, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Coming, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are coming. Coming for a bride, for a baby.
You are coming.
So you are worthy. Sing it again.
Yeah.
this morning, there's no logical stopping point to that song. We just have to bring it to a close. But the words are powerful this morning as we declare that the Lord Jesus, who died and rose again, who reigns on high, who is coming again, our Lord Jesus is worthy of all of our praise and worship and glory and honor. He is worthy to be praised today. We are celebrating this morning Holy Communion together, a celebration of the work of Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord, when he died on the cross and there shed his blood so that our sins might be forgiven. You say, how does that work, Pastor? Well, the reality is you and I are sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God loved us so much. We deserve death because of our sins. But God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die in our place, to pay the price that we should have paid, to endure the judgment of God for us. And Jesus came and he accomplished his work. Just before he died on the cross, he made this declaration, "It is finished." Declaring to us that the work of salvation would be absolutely accomplished through the death that he died. So I know most of you here in the room this morning, but maybe there might be a few of you I don't know. And I don't know your history. I don't know everybody's history. I don't know what you've done, where you've been, how you've lived. The Lord does. He knows exactly where you've been, what you've done. And the blood of Jesus is so powerful. It's enough to wash away every sin that's ever been committed by every person in this room today. Isn't that awesome? Now, listen. You can just take one quick look around this morning and you can tell this bunch has committed a lot of sin. And Jesus died and his blood was enough to wash away all of our sins, and not only all of our sins, but the sins of the whole wide world who would come to him in faith and trust him for salvation. That's why we go on and on. That's why sometimes we might sing a song 14 times over in worship to the Lord, because we're so grateful. Huh? Yes? We're so glad and grateful for what Jesus has done for us. I heard a missionary give a testimony many years ago, my dear friend, Brother Dean Gallion, missionary, longtime missionary to Africa. He came and told us a story about how God had given him a vision and called him to Africa. I'll never forget what he said the first time I heard him say it. It was back in a room, those rooms were different back then. It was over in a side room. He said, I have said to the Lord, if I can ever tell that story without getting emotional, I just won't tell it anymore. And he went on to tell that story year after year after year. And every time he told it, he was moved in his spirit. I'll tell you, friend, I can't talk about Jesus without my heart being stirred and moved. Jesus not only made a difference for me, you know, how old am I? 58 years old. Maybe when I, about 53 years, I don't know how my math is. Jesus not only made a difference for me when I was about 5 years old, when I came down and accepted him as my Savior for the first time, but Jesus has been making a difference for me every day of my life. And he has certainly made a major difference for me in what's up ahead of me. Are you here? I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I'm on my way to heaven because of what Jesus has done for me. So excuse us if we get a little emotional and worship a little longer sometimes, but we love the Lord Jesus and we're so grateful for what he's done for us. We're going to serve communion together. Come on, those who are serving, come on and be prepared to wait upon us. Congregation, I've had you standing for a long time. Be seated while you receive the elements of communion this morning. When you receive them, please hold them until everyone has been served, and then we'll eat and drink together in just a few moments. Let's continue to worship the Lord this morning as we prepare our hearts for communion. You don't know, it's very rare. Heidi picks all of our music. This song today, this last song, was my special request to Heidi. Can we learn this song? I'd heard it some time ago. Such a beautiful song about the Lord Jesus. And could you just bear with me for a little bit? Let's sing this a little bit. a little bit more quietly to the Lord and continue to worship the Lord and learn the song for those of us for whom it's new as we worship the Lord and prepare our hearts for communion this morning. Look to the land. See the Son of God.
See the Son of God, the Savior crucified. See the crown of thorns that nails His wounded side. He is worthy. Look to the land. See the One who is forever.
Alpha and Omega.
He is the Alpha and Omega. He was and is to come. He will return with shouts of glory. His name is Jesus Christ our God.
Received from the Lord, but also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is My body given for you. Eat this in remembrance of Me." Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for the privilege this morning, standing together in Your presence, in the grace of God, through the powerful work of Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us, washed away our sins, given us a favored standing in Your presence, and promised us the hope of eternal life. Thank You, Father, for Jesus, Your Son, who hung on the old rugged cross, His body broken, His blood shed, that our sins, which were many, might be washed away, that they might be removed from us as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us again. Thank You for forgiveness. Thank You for justification. Thank You for sanctification. Thank You for the precious reality that our lives are hidden with Christ in God. As we eat and drink the bread and the cup this morning. We do so with thanksgiving and with faith, Lord, understanding that the work of Jesus is still powerful in our lives today, and the blood of Jesus will never lose its power. We thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, across the room that for those who may be physically sick today or need a healing in their bodies, that the stripes that Jesus bore on Calvary would prevail to bring healing even to their physical bodies today, to raise them up. That the Holy Spirit who lives within them today would quicken their mortal bodies, give life to them in health and healing. That they would feel the presence and the renewal of the Holy Spirit today. Thank you, Lord. We bless you and we give you glory in Jesus, and you are worthy. Amen. Amen. Let's eat the bread together, please. In the same way, also after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me." Let's drink together. Apostle Paul concluded that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 with these words: "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." In other words, you tell everybody around you, "Jesus died for me, and his death for me was enough. And I'm looking forward to the coming of Jesus again." Amen. Stand together, please, everybody. And for one more moment, could you lift a hand toward heaven, bless the Lord in the sanctuary, and thank him for the salvation that we enjoy today. Ah, we thank you and praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us life today. Life everlasting and life abundant, Lord, as your family. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing and we're glad today. Glad that you're here with us this morning. Would you take a moment before you're seated to reach out and greet one another around you and make everybody feel welcome today, please. God bless you. Yes, we want to welcome those who may be here for the first time today, and would like to invite you to stop by our welcome center out in the lobby, and we'd love to touch base with you back there. And we also have a little gift for you that we'd like to share with you, so thank you for being with us today. We also want to invite everybody who would join us to come on and join us for the ice cream social tonight at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. Now, the ice cream social says it's for me, but it's really for everybody, okay? And we are celebrating, thanks to our deacons and our staff, my 30th anniversary as pastor here at First Assembly. And my actual anniversary date is this Tuesday, and it'll be 30 years. You say, "Boy, this is an old church." This church this year turned 90 years old. But I want to say to you that I have not been the pastor the whole time. I am actually the 18th pastor of First Assembly, but how many of you can believe that after 30 years, I'm the longest serving? Pastor, they got rid of every... No, we won't go back that back there. All right. Come on and join us for the ice cream social. I want to say, first of all, let me take a quick poll here. How many in this service? Now, our 8:30 service was packed today, and we had... many, many of our 8:30 people could qualify for this question. How many would you say? 50 or 60? Probably in the first service. How many of you were there 30 years ago on that Sunday night at that business meeting when the church elected me to be the pastor? How many were here? Stand up if you were here that Sunday night 30 years ago. Look at all this old bunch of folks here. Oh, several in the balcony as well. Oh, let's give them a hand clap today. And as you see them, I have to give credit. Those are the folks who raised me. And thank you all for sticking with me all these years. And thank you to all of the rest of you who've come along to join us. It's been the privilege of my life to serve as pastor of this great church family. And we are thankful for the Lord's goodness in so many, many ways. All right, it's 11:44. Should we sing our offertory song or should we go on with the preaching of the word? Such a decisive congregation. We will sing the offertory song. Our communion has left us with less time today. Let's sing the song together and then I'll preach a shortened version of the sermon. Stand together and let's sing holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty.
Our soul shall rise.
give the Lord a shout of hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you, Heidi and worship team, for leading us this morning and every morning into the presence of the Lord with worship. And thank you, everybody, for worshiping the Lord together this morning. We move to Mark chapter 8, verse 22 today as we continue our study through the miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we come to one of my all-time favorite miracles in the scripture. I say that every Sunday morning. It's just whichever one I'm on becomes my favorite for that moment. But I love this miracle. It says so much to us about ourselves and about the Lord Jesus and his treatment of us. How many here this morning, the Lord has been especially good and gracious and even patient with you? Say amen. All right, let's look to the scriptures together. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking around." Anybody here have that kind of eyesight today? I see people, but they look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go into the village." We read this morning, in my opinion, one of the most interesting miracles in the Bible. This story is found only in Mark's gospel, and it's unlike any other miracle in the ministry of Jesus. It's recorded briefly, as is common for Mark's gospel. It's recorded briefly, but in very specific and unusual detail. Though there were many blind men healed in Jesus' ministry, at least six others we know about recorded in the gospels, this particular healing is strange and surprising because it is brought about in two stages. Everybody say two stages. Only at the second touch did the full healing come. Now, we need to be very clear today. We should never get caught up in the externals when it comes to miracles. It was not the spit of Jesus or the touch of Jesus that healed the man. It was the will of Jesus that healed the blind man. The truth is, as we study through the miracles of Jesus, there are many different methods and manners, but the common denominator in every miracle of healing is the will of Jesus. I'm reminded of another famous miracle where a man with leprosy came to Jesus and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus responded by saying, "I am willing. Be made clean." And the man was healed. It is the will of Jesus that brings healing to God's people. Nor should we get caught up in the thought today that it took Jesus two touches to heal the blind man. It doesn't take Jesus two touches to heal anyone. Jesus doesn't even have to touch someone to heal. He could simply speak the word or give the command or again just will the healing to take place and the healing would come. This two-stage healing simply demonstrates that some receive at different rates. Somebody might say, "Your website is very slow." Others would say, "Your website is very fast." We would respond, "It's the speed of your connection." How many of you know if you don't have a fast connection, the fastest of all websites might appear very slow? The speed of connection, the speed of the data transfer, The rate of receiving is different when it comes to those kinds of things. And that is often true in the spiritual realm as well. Some receive at different rates based on a variety of things, not the least of which is our faith. Often Jesus would say to someone, according to your faith, be it unto you. And that level of faith in the person receiving made a difference in receiving from Jesus. So we're talking this morning about getting the healing touch of Jesus, sometimes in one touch, sometimes in two touches. But before we leave the service this morning, we're going to be determining that as Christian believers who live in a troubled world, whose lives are plagued by all different kinds of issues, we need many times not just a first touch from Jesus, not just a second touch from Jesus. We need a third touch and a fourth touch and a fifth touch and a sixth touch. And I don't have enough fingers and toes to count it off for you this morning. How many of you sitting in the sanctuary this morning could use a fresh touch from the Lord in some area of your life, even today? Say amen. So this is a miracle and a message about receiving a second touch, another touch from the Lord. Let's examine the miracle today in three chapters. Obviously, you know me well enough to know that every chapter has multiple subpoints, and the subpoints sometimes have subpoints of their own. We begin with the miraculous place in which this miracle took place, a town called Bethsaida. Everybody say Bethsaida. There are two words that sound alike in the Gospels: Bethesda, which was a pool in Jerusalem, and Bethsaida, which was a little town on the northeast shore of the Sea of Galilee. Let's take a quick note, a moment to look at a map this morning and think about the location of Bethsaida in the scriptures where the miracle today took place. Everybody say Bethsaida. There it is. This is the nation of Israel. And here we have, in New Testament times, Judea down south with the city of Jerusalem. There's Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. Up north is the region of Galilee. There's the town of Nazareth, where Jesus grew up as a boy. There's the little town of Nain, where Jesus raised somebody from the dead. There are a variety of familiar places on this map. But all the way to the north of the country, around the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus conducted much of his ministry, is the town of Bethsaida. Right there on the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee. Bethsaida was the home of some of the disciples, Philip, Andrew, and Peter. And Bethsaida was the location of many of the miracles of Jesus. Have you ever heard of a revival somewhere where all kinds of miracles were taking place? Bethsaida would have been one of those kinds of locations during the ministry of Jesus. Much miraculous activity up north in the region of Bethsaida. In fact, it was near that town that the feeding of the 5,000 took place. One of the greatest and most notable miracles of Jesus. We also note that the town of Bethsaida received a rebuke from Jesus during his ministry because Jesus had performed so many miracles there that everybody in town should have been a follower of Jesus, but many of them had not yet given their hearts to Jesus. How many of you know this morning that it takes more than seeing a miracle to convince a lot of people to give their whole lives over to Jesus Christ? Miracles are convincing, but when we receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, it's a matter of yielding our will over to the Lordship of Jesus. And Jesus said, you folks at Bethsaida, you have seen so many miracles. Every one of you ought to have faith in me as the Savior, yet many of you will not. So Bethsaida was a miraculous atmosphere, a miraculous place. And there at Bethsaida, a group of beggars, we call them because they begged Jesus, a compassionate community of beggars bring a blind man to Jesus. Verse 22 says, some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. Now, we don't know the relationship between these helpers and the blind man. We're going to study a miracle sometime in the next few weeks about a man who was carried by four friends to get to Jesus. And the crowd at the house was so great, they couldn't get the man into Jesus. He was a paralyzed man. And so the four friends tore a hole through the roof and lowered the man down. Those four friends have been preached about many times, four friends who carried their friend to Jesus. Such was the case in this story. A group of men, some people, brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. That's where we come to this case of blindness in the scripture today, verse 22. A man who was blind. As we said a moment ago, there were many blind people in the pages of scripture. We know of at least seven blind men in the scripture who were healed by the Lord Jesus. I think it would be safe to assume that we have a record of merely a few of those miracles, and that we could probably say there may have been many other blind men and women who were healed by the Lord Jesus during his powerful ministry. And Jesus opened the eyes of the blind. What made this miracle so unusual is the mysterious process through which Jesus went and through which the blind man himself went to receive the healing from the Lord. This miracle involved two touches, two stages. This was a multi-staged process. Now, if you've lived life very long at all, you know that as human beings, we need an ongoing process all the time, because how many of you know, first of all, we're constantly messing up. Could I have a better amen? We're constantly messing up. And second of all, we're humans and we got a lot of room to grow. Would you say amen? So we thank God we have a Lord who is willing to work with us in multiple stages, okay? And so this man receives two touches. Let's look at the first touch from Jesus. When Jesus encounters the man, the first thing he does is he isolates and insulates him. Verse 23 says, he took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Now, I remind you where we are. We're in Bethsaida, where the people are accustomed to seeing miracles all the time. In fact, we would say that it certainly was a great crowd, that crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children who observed the miracle of the multiplication of fish and bread. So the people of this era, they knew Jesus was a miracle worker. They had seen Jesus's miracles, and yet in this particular case, Jesus doesn't want the crowd around. And he takes the blind man by the hand and leads him outside the village. You know, I could stop right there and preach for a long time on the precious blessedness of the reality that Jesus cares about each of us individually. Isn't that good? And that Jesus is not just interested in the crowd as a whole. He's interested in every individual in the place. I like what Dr. George Westlake always says when he comes to preach for us. Old Brother Westlake, 91 years old, still preaching the gospel. We'll have him back again sometime soon. Dr. Westlake always reminds us that if I were the only one alive, God loves us so much that Jesus would have died for us. Isn't that good news today? And Jesus took this blind man, he isolated him and insulated him, and then Jesus imparted improvement to the man. Everybody say improvement. Okay? Now, improvement suggests that you're better off, but you're not quite there yet. Okay? And that's exactly what happens in this story. Jesus imparted improvement. Verse 23 says, Jesus spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him. And when Jesus did that, the man got better. Everybody say he got better. And you know, we're grateful for getting better. Isn't that right? Let's take a look at what happened in the blind man's condition. It's revealed as Jesus interviews the man. Verse 23, Jesus asked, do you see anything? And he said, looked up and said, I see people, but they look like what? Trees. They look like trees walking around. Now, we have two options in this story. Either we can think that the people of Jesus' day were especially homely. Or we could assume that the man did not receive a complete healing in his eyes. How many of you would bet on the second option? Okay. I see people, but they look like trees walking around. So this man had indeed received some improvement through that first touch of Jesus. That's where many of us are right now. I have to say that there are many people under the sound of my voice today and in churches all across Jefferson City and around the world today, people who love the Lord Jesus, they are growing in the Lord. They have places in their lives where they really need to grow some more. But thank God, though they're not where they want to be or where they need to be, thank God they're not where they used to be. Could I have an amen? And Jesus improved the man's condition. And this was quite an improvement. The man, though he could not see clearly, at least with this stage of improvement, he could function better in life if that's all he ever received from the Lord. After all, if you've been walking into walls and, you know, stumbling over tables and all of those things because you couldn't see anything, how many of you know it would be a blessing to be able to avoid those kinds of things? So he received improvement from the Lord Jesus. And Jesus heard his answer, I see trees, I see people, they look like trees walking around. And Jesus immediately went to the next stage of the process. Many would be thrilled at this level of healing, but Jesus was not satisfied. And Jesus moved further. And the scripture says, notice the finishing touch from Jesus, and we note the reissuing of the Savior's touch. Verse 25 says, once more Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Jesus went the second mile, didn't he? He extended another touch. He brought a greater miracle. Jesus wanted this blind man to be able to see clearly. I'm convinced that if Jesus were to need to stand there all day long and touch the man 17 times, that if the man was willing to trust in Jesus for 17 touches, Jesus would have been right there with him. Now, I don't have to wonder about those kinds of things. We don't know about those kinds. But the reality is Jesus was willing to go through the process all over again in order to bring a greater healing to the man's life. And we note the receiving and restoration that took place at the second touch. Verse 25 says, then the man's eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Now, these are some pretty powerful descriptions. This is a threefold. Think about this with me this morning. I love sometimes what seems to be the redundancy or the repetition of Scripture. How many of you know that oftentimes repetition is used for emphasis? Say amen. How many of you know what seems sometimes to be redundant? If we'll look at the expressions carefully and closely, we will understand that every expression has its own unique truth to tell. Say amen. And so we find these descriptions of the man's healing at the second touch. His eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. This was a complete healing for the blind man. And his sight was restored. And Jesus finished the work. Everybody say, Jesus finished the work. Okay? Thank God for that. I believe, how many of you here today, the Lord has been working in some area of your life and you are desiring, and it is your heart's desire that the Lord finishes the work. Anybody here? I'm like that, okay? How many of you, there have been some things in your life that you've been through the process, the Lord started the work, and the Lord finished the work, and you're here with a testimony that the Lord brought about a great work in your life. Lift your hands, say amen, come on. The Lord has done it. Some works are finished in our lives. Some works are in the process in our lives. Some works the Lord is about to start, and we don't even know what they're going to be, but we better buckle up our seatbelts. Because the Lord wants to work in us to bring us to the place that he wants us to be. A miraculous place, a mysterious process, and the story closes with a meaningful privacy for this man. Jesus directed him, verse 26, says Jesus sent him home. Go home. And Jesus detoured him, saying, don't go into the village. Now, it might have been this blind man's desire in his enthusiasm and his excitement to run back into the crowded village and say, look what the Lord has done. We certainly would understand that, wouldn't we? In fact, on many occasions, when Jesus told people, don't tell anybody about this, they just went right out, disregarded Jesus' words, and told everybody far and wide anyway. Because they were so excited about what the Lord had done in their lives. This man, Jesus says, I don't want you to go into the village. I want you to go home. I want you to have some time to assess this thing privately. Sometimes, you know, there would come a time, no doubt, for a public testimony of what Jesus had done. But for today, this man needed to assess in privacy, to appreciate in privacy what the Lord Jesus had done in his life. He needed to be alone for a while. You know, sometimes if we get out into the crowd too quickly, the crowd can mess us all up. This man didn't need the scrutiny and examination of, you know, people poking at his eyes saying, what did he do to? Do you remember the story of the blind man in John chapter 9? A blind man in John chapter 9 was healed powerfully. And by the end of that day, he had been badgered by the religious leaders and ultimately kicked out of his local church for receiving a miracle of healing. Imagine that. So we don't know all the details here, but we know that Jesus sent the man home to give him privacy for assessing and processing this miracle. What do we know now and what do we learn? What are some principles? What are some messages from this miracle? Let's think about these messages in the box on the bottom of your outline. One, Jesus is personal with us. He took the blind man by the hand. I just love that picture. He took the blind man by the hand, led him outside the village, spit on the man's eyes, and put his hands on him. This was an up-close, personal miracle from Jesus. Look up at me, everybody. I want to say to you this morning that Jesus loves you so much that he wants to work in your life, whoever you are. You know, here at First Assembly, we don't allow people to say things like, well, you know, I've done so much, I don't deserve the... We don't allow any of that kind of junk here. Sometimes people say, well, I said a few weeks ago, you know, sometimes people say, well, the Lord, so many people need the Lord, and my needs are so minor compared to other people's needs. And we said, no, that is so ridiculously dumb. How many of you know the Lord is big enough to take care of every need at the same time? Say amen. Yeah. Sometimes people, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. No, throw out all that junk. All of our unworthiness was taken care of at the cross of Calvary that we celebrated today. Jesus has made us worthy to be partakers in the blessings of God. So if you need something from the Lord, call upon the name of Jesus, whoever you are. Jesus is personal with us. Secondly, Jesus is patient and persistent with us. If we need a second touch, he'll give us a second touch. If we need a third touch, he'll give us a third touch. If we need to keep coming back to the Lord Jesus again and again. In fact, I'll have to say to you this morning, dear friends, if you don't go to Jesus every day to get your daily bread, then you haven't learned what kind of benefits and blessings are available to the children of God. We have the opportunity, listen, to march boldly into the throne of grace and find help in our time of need. So get on in there. Get on over there to Jesus and get another touch from him. Could I have an amen? Amen. Thirdly, Jesus is powerful with us. The blind man's eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And Jesus can bring a powerful work into our lives as well. He is, says the book of Hebrews, the same yesterday and today and forever. And number four, I know this is an unusual point, but when necessary, Jesus is private with us. Not everything is to be broadcast. Some things are between us and the Lord. How many are tickled pink over that reality? Yep. Some things you don't want to tell anybody about. Some things you don't want to come for prayer to the pastor. You know, when I grew up in church, we used to have public prayer request time in the evening services especially. And someone would come up to the platform, a lay person, and say, who has a prayer request? Shirley, do you remember this? Shirley Wilson back there, we grew up in church together. Shirley, you're not much older than me, but I grew up in church where Shirley was, let me say it that way. And someone would come and they would lead prayer request time. And people in the congregation would shout out their prayer requests. Someone would say, pray for my Aunt Susie. She's having surgery tomorrow. Somebody else over here would say, pray for me. I've been under the attack of the devil this week. Somebody over there would say, pray for Sister Susie. She's going to be traveling this week to so-and-so. And then interspersed between all of those prayer requests were a whole bunch of these. I have an unspoken request. Does anyone remember that? People would raise their hand and say, I have an unspoken request. But you know, it got a little more serious than that. As you went along, somebody else would raise their hand and say, I have a special unspoken request. And then as you'd go through the service, and those prayer request services, you know, sometimes lasted a half an hour. The only thing worse than our prayer request services were our testimony service. Half of them were testimonies and half of them, I don't know what to call them. But as we went through prayer request time, somebody else would have something really, and they would say, I have a very special unspoken request. And friends, do you know that in our church was in the midst of such spiritual warfare that sometimes people even brought very, very special unspoken requests into the church house? As a boy growing up in church, I always wonder what that is. Wonder what that very, very special unspoken, you know, sounded like the CIA needed to investigate. What is that? A very, very special unspoken request. As I've lived life, I've come to realize more fully that all of us at times have very, very special unspoken requests. Things we're just dealing with the Lord about. Me and the Lord. And we call upon the Lord and the Lord works. Thank God we don't have to broadcast our prayer request on the church prayer chain in order to get an answer from the Lord. Now I believe in the power of united prayers and the prayers of agreement. But I've also been around long enough to know that sometimes when the prayer chain gets around to the last link, the link is broken. And the prayer request that you hear at the end of the prayer chain is not the same person, it's not the same need, it's not the same anything. And you think, where did that come from? It's like, you know, go around in the circle, giving the little message. Everything changed. But how many of you know the Lord sees and knows every one of our needs individually and perfectly? Yeah. And so the Lord keeps working. The Lord is powerful with us. The Lord is private with us when necessary. So our responses this morning are simply these. We need to keep going to Jesus. You say, I haven't received everything I need from the Lord yet. Well, join the club. We are grateful for what the Lord has done, but we still need a lot from the Lord, don't we? Yeah. How many of you need something from the Lord today? Yeah, we need things from the Lord. And other things sometimes that we wouldn't classify as critical needs, we sure want from the Lord. our heart's desires. And we say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, provide for me. So keep going to Jesus. We just need the Lord so much because we keep having troubles. We keep facing difficulties. We keep facing challenges. I'll never forget years ago, my twin brother Joel was working in Mexico, Missouri. And he was driving as a young union sheet metal worker. He was driving up to Mexico, Missouri to the shop up there, driving back and forth, driving across that intersection there in Kingdom City every day. And as he was driving across that intersection of 54 and I-70 at Kingdom City, somebody ran a red light and smashed right into the side of him, totaled the car. Could have been the end for my brother Joel. But he came out of that wreck without a scratch. He was, we found when we went to get the car and look at the car, in the cassette player in the car was the tape he was listening to as he was driving. And as he had that wreck, he had an old tape by the Hemphill family with a song playing entitled Angels All Around Me. And we rejoiced. 2 weeks later, I got the rest of the story. I told half the story in the first service. My family gave me the update in the second, just before the second service. 2 weeks after that wreck, my brother Joel had a second wreck and totaled the second car and came out of that wreck without a scratch. And we rejoiced at the miracle of God's provision and protection. Amen. And Joel, I remember the night we went down to a big youth rally and they asked Joel to come up and share his testimony. And he came up to share the testimony, and he gave the testimony of those two wrecks and how the Lord had protected him supernaturally. And the people applauded, and the people praised the Lord. And Joel turned to walk off the platform and fell right down the stairs. Now, how many of you know you can go through one thing and through another thing, and then you got a third thing that you need the Lord for? So it's no surprise that we just need the Lord's help every day of our lives. And he's so faithful to us. So keep going to Jesus. Keep getting from Jesus what you need. He is our supply. And thirdly, keep growing in Jesus. Don't let the devil stunt or stop or stagnate your growth in the Lord. You get to Jesus, you hang on him. You let him touch you again and again and again. You let him provide for what you need in life. If you stumble and fall, don't let someone convince you that you might as well give up on the Lord. That is a lie from the devil. Are you here? Some of you have family members or friends. They've been in church and out of church and in church and out of church and in church and out of church. They come to church and get saved, and then they get out of church and go back to drugs, and then they come into church and they get saved, and then they go out of church and they start drinking, and then they in and out and in and out, and you have been guilty of saying to people or to yourself, well, they'll never stick, they'll never get in. Listen, we rebuke that lie from the devil, and we say, keep on coming back to Jesus. And we believe Jesus can make the difference if we will continue to press in to touch him. He is our answer, and he can provide for us another touch today. I learned a song as a child, strangely enough, and it just comes to me now as I think about it. This little song was written by the same family, the same author, who wrote the angel song that Joel was listening to. This song was written by Joel Hemphill in 1980, and it simply goes like this. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge him yet. There's an unfinished part. But I'll be better just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hand. And the chorus goes like this. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Is that your testimony this morning? Let the Lord work. Amen.